pounds, 1 ounce. I'm not back there yet, but maybe someday. Just to start, I'm going to put a quick plug up here, and I hope it works. All right, one. Just for the chapel's website, there's a new website that we've got running, and I hope it works. It should work in just a second. There we go. So just to let everybody know, it's www.gbc for Grace Bible Chapel, timmins.com. And you can't see that up there. The bar's not on the screen. And just take some time. Take a look at it. I'm in charge of it in terms of updating it and everything like that. So if there's something that you want to, if you're involved in something, Sunday school, whatever, and you would like me to put something up for you that's up and coming or whatever, I just want to get you to go to the contacts. It's probably easier than telling me on a Sunday, because if you tell me on a Sunday, I may not remember by the time I get home. So if you just put it right in there and send it, it'll come right to my email. Just a little something like, this week, 678 Club is starting this, or meeting this. I could put it up on the main site, whatever. But it goes through basically the basics of a bulletin. So if you don't have one or whatever, it'll tell you who's speaking. There's a link there to Mark Hall's devotional on the right. It's hard to read, and I apologize. It looks great on the website, and I can't change the colors for the screen, so I apologize for that. You'll have to take time to look at it. It goes to the speakers for the month, and then every month I will update it. And then just at the bottom on the right there, you'll see there are some links to some other Christian resources that you can avail yourself of. Some of those that Rick Bowley, back about a year ago, shared with us. And then, of course, if you go to the messages up there, you'll see that last week's is up there, Rick's, and you can download it, and there's also a file where it can play right there. So just little things, but anything that you, if you look through the ministries or anything else that's on there and you see that there needs to be a change from what's already there now, just send it quickly to me. I'd be glad to update it and to make sure it's right, because there may be some errors, there may be some, I don't want there to be any misinformation, but if there is, then I'd like that to be updated and fixed, but I don't necessarily know everything that's all the time going on. So send me a quick note on the contacts thing, and I will update it, and we'll go that way. So this morning, I'd like to, I'm going to get you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the life of Joseph. And there we go. And I'm going to go through the story of Joseph. Now, I know that there are a number of you that are familiar with the story of Joseph, but there are some of you, I'm sure, that are not. You may have heard of the, it's on a play, what's it called? The Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. It's not really that, but I mean, that was based off of this account somewhat. And so I'm going to go through the life of Joseph. My goal is not to share with you this morning about the life of Joseph. My goal is to share with you about one who is greater than Joseph, none other than God's Son himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that will come through as we proceed through the life of Joseph and see the parallels that are in Joseph's life that show us Christ. And it's ironic that this morning, for those of you here at the first service, the breaking of bread, this was my plan to share about this and to talk to you about how the Lord Jesus Christ is pretty much on every page in the Bible. And the story of Joseph a little bit came up in the breaking of bread, and so did the fact that the Lord Jesus is in every part of the Bible. And so you have the Bible with the Lord Jesus Christ from the beginning until the end. He's in there everywhere, and the Lord has put him in there. And it's almost like as you're driving down the street and you see a sign, and you keep seeing the same sign, it should be a warning to you to say, I better be paying attention to that sign. Jesus is on every page of the Bible to tell us that he's important, that there's something special about him, and that we need him in our lives, and that God has put him on this earth for us to be the Savior for us, and he died for our sins. So let's just open this morning in a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for the life of Joseph that you have here in your word, and as we look at his life and see the parallels with Christ, your Son. Father, may we see Christ more clearly this morning. And for those here who don't know him as their personal Savior, Lord, I just pray that you would speak to them, that they may see him in a new and enlightened way, that they would accept him this morning as their personal Savior. And we know that should that happen with just one, the angels would be rejoicing in heaven, and that person's name would be written forever in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so, Father, we pray for the salvation of souls today, that your Spirit would move freely and touch the hearts of those today, as well as us who are Christians. Father, speak to us, that we may have a walk that is closer to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the verses are going to be up there on the screen for you, because I'm going to it spans a number of chapters, 37 to 50 in Genesis. And we're not going to read them all, obviously, because if we read them all, then people would be setting their alarms and their cell phones to ring at 12 o'clock so that I got the hint that 12 o'clock has come. And so I put them up here. And I'm just going to speak to them, but I'm not going to read them all to you. So you can follow along if you want in your Bibles, but they will all be up here. Now, I also do have to apologize, because as we get near the end, this morning I put them all in white so you could see them clearly. But I put some of them in red, and they worked great this morning at home, but the lighting is not quite the same here on the big screen. And so when it gets to that, I'll just read that for you. So I apologize in advance for that. But here we read about Joseph. And Joseph, we start off, is a guy who worked for his dad, and he was a shepherd. And he shepherded the flock, and he would report to his father what his brothers were doing. Now, Joseph was one of 12 brothers. He was the second youngest, and he was born to Jacob in Jacob's old age from his wife, Rebekah. Now, there were two sons born from Rebekah, Joseph and Benjamin, the last two, and the rest of them, they were from different women. And so Rebekah was Jacob's favorite wife, and as a result, Joseph is the favorite son of Jacob. Now, you can imagine in a family what kind of tension that would bring. And not only that, we read about Joseph here, and he's continually coming back to his father and reporting on the deeds of his brothers. You know, one of those maybe siblings that you have that says, "My mom, dad, guess what so-and-so is doing? They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing." And so you see this favorite brother, but you also see him reporting to his dad regularly about his brothers, and this obviously doesn't go very well with them. But we know that he had a special place in his father's heart, and as a result, his dad gave him a present. He gives him this very colored tunic, or a coat of many colors. And so he stands out. And as would be natural for the siblings, you can imagine how they would respond to that. They'd be all the more jealous, right? And angry with Joseph. And they saw this. It was obvious. It wasn't something that Jacob hid. It was obvious. And it resulted in the natural thing that we would all, for all intents purposes, realize that they despised Joseph. It says right there at the end of that they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. So things weren't going very well. They couldn't even talk to him. Couldn't even maybe say good morning. You know when there's somebody you don't like, and you can probably still, for the most part, maybe it's your boss or maybe it's somebody else that just, I don't know, certain things about them bother you. But you can still, you can be reasonable with them. You know, you can say hi or how are you, but you don't have to go and have a conversation or hang out with them or anything like that. But it gets to the point where they can't stand him so much so they can't even speak to him on friendly terms. Not only that, but Joseph has a dream. Joseph has a dream, and he tells his brothers about it. He has a dream that he and his brothers are binding sheaves. And his sheaf gets up, and their sheaves bow down before him. And he explains to them that's a picture, that they're going to bow down to him. And of course, you can imagine the brothers now, they're even more ticked off. Not only does he's a favorite son, he gets the special present. He's always ratting them out, if I could put it in terms like that, telling his father everything that they do wrong. They don't even want to talk to him, because he gets all the special treatment, and then he has a dream and he tells them about it. So you can imagine how they feel. And of course, on top of that, he has a second dream. And in his second dream, the 11 stars, which are his brothers, which represent his brothers, bow down before him, and the sun and the moon, his mom and his dad. And they report that to Jacob. And Jacob says, come on. He rebukes him. He says, come on. But he doesn't really do anything about it, Jacob. He's still, Joseph is his favorite. And it says in the Bible that he keeps that, Jacob keeps that in his mind. But they are upset with him. And so after they report these dreams, the brothers go off and they're feeding the sheep, but Joseph's not. So they're off working. Joseph's staying home by his dad. He's not doing any of the work. And Jacob sends him out. He says, Joseph, go out and give me a report on your brothers. So, of course, Joseph, he goes out to check on them and bring back word. But his brothers, they see him as he's approaching. There's Joseph, way down over there. You see him? And they're livid with him. They can't stand him. So they decide what they're going to do is they're going to kill him. And they're going to throw him in a pit. Now, this is their brother. Like, there's 12 of them. And the 11 of them are agreeing, we're going to kill him. And then we're going to bring his coat back to our dad. And we're going to tell our dad that a beast devoured him. We're going to put the blood on the coat. And then we'll see. It says right there, let us then see what will become of his dream. But interesting in all this, because you can see that the character of the brothers, Reuben, who's the oldest, he tries to convince them otherwise. He says, why don't we just throw him in a pit? But Reuben's not, he's our brother. You know, we're not going to kill our brother. Like, his blood, that's going to be on our shoulders for the rest of our lives. Like, we don't want to kill our brother. Let's put him in a pit. But Reuben's plan is not because he's trying to really help out Joseph. What his plan is that when the other brothers are gone, he's going to come back. And he's going to rescue Joseph and bring him to Jacob and say, look, I've rescued your son. Like, these guys are going against each other left, right, and center, right? And so they plot to kill him. And so they do that. They take off his tunic, which is something that, it, of course, is driving them crazy. They take it off of him and they cast him into a pit. And the next passage here in verse 25 of Genesis 37 is amazing. Then they sat down to eat a meal. They can't stand their brother. They know he's going to die in this pit. There's no water, nothing in there. They throw him in the pit. And they're so malicious. They're so mad at him that they're crazy, I guess, if I could put it in those terms. They'll sit down and have a meal. I mean, we just did this. We don't care what happens, so we're going to sit down and have a meal. But they look up, and there's a caravan. They see this caravan of traders coming through, and they get this idea in their head, instead of leaving him in the pit, let's sell him. Let's sell him as a slave. And so as they're passing by, they sell him as a slave for 20 shekels of silver. And Joseph now gets brought to Egypt with this caravan of traders. So they decide to make some cash off of him instead of just killing him. And they dip the coat in some goat's blood and they bring it back to their father. And they tell him the story that he was devoured by a beast. And Jacob is upset. He's upset that his favorite son is gone, never to be seen again. So now there are 11. I'm going to go back because I don't want to. Sorry. And the traders take Joseph to Egypt. And as they bring him to Egypt, he gets sold. He gets sold as a slave, and he's sold to a man by the name of Potiphar. Now, Potiphar was important with the Pharaoh. He was the captain of the guard of the Pharaoh, and so Joseph goes to work for him. But Joseph, in chapter 39, you read four times that it says that Joseph found favor in the sight of the Lord, or Joseph was with the Lord. And you see that he prospers. He does everything that he ought to do. Despite his circumstances, despite being almost killed, sold to traders, and then sold as a slave, he's now a slave. He goes from the favorite son to a slave. And despite all that, he works hard for Potiphar, and Potiphar lifts him up. He promotes him. And he continually gets promoted to being like the top slave. He ends up being like the slave who's in charge of the whole house. And it goes on to say in chapter 39 that Joseph is very handsome. And it's interesting that you read that in the next verse. It starts to talk about right away Potiphar's wife, who notices Joseph, and she wants to cheat on her husband with Joseph. And Joseph refuses. But not only does it just say that once in passing, it says she approaches him day after day. You got to imagine a young guy in this position. He's very good looking. His boss's wife, who I'm guessing is also attractive, wants to sleep with him. And he's saying no. He's saying no. He's putting himself in a precarious situation. And we read here in verse 7 of 39 that she wants to sleep with him, but he says no. And I want to take an aside here because after rereading this, I'll take it sort of back where some of this comes into play. We started talking about this, the Joseph, in our men's Monday morning Bible study. And that's sort of where all this stemmed from when I thought about what am I going to share. My father-in-law asked me, what, you know, that can you speak this Sunday, January 9th? And I thought, well, just started praying about it and all these things sort of. And I started reading that book that I have from Chuck Swindoll about the life of Joseph. And I was reading it when I got to this particular portion. You know, I found myself agreeing with what he wrote. And he wrote, you know, if ever there was a time that you want the Lord to raise somebody up or to give something to, it's when Joseph makes the right decision to not get caught up in this situation. As a man, we know the struggles that lie in sexuality, and it's on TV, and we're continually bombarded with it, and we need, as Christians, to turn away from that stuff. And it's generally where most of our weaknesses lie. And yet Joseph has this, he's confronted with it day in and day out, and who would know? If she would have never said anything to her husband, nobody would ever know. And yet Joseph turns and he runs. There's one day where he comes in and there's no servants in the house. And she catches him and she says to him, lie with me. And he runs away. But as he's running away, she has his garment in her hand. So she must have been close to him. And he just puts his arms through and runs away. And if ever there was a time that you would ask the Lord to reward someone for doing something that was right, this would be the time. And I remember reading that in Chuck Swindoll's book and thinking, yeah, I agree with that. But it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. She screams. She's enraged. She screams. Potiphar comes home and she flat out lies and says, he forced himself on me. Look, his garment's here in my hand. He ran away when he heard me scream. And so she frames him. And Potiphar takes Joseph and puts him in jail. And when I read that, I think, Lord, there's so many times when we read it, just turn on the TV, open the newspaper, like you read about people giving in to these sexual sins day in, day out, left, right, and center. Do we not? And yet this one time, a godly man does what is right, what he knows is what right in the sight of the Lord, he says, and in the sight of his boss, Potiphar. And yet he's put in jail, he's falsely accused, and he gets the worst of it all. And I read that and I think, yeah, Lord, why? Why? But you have to stick with it. You have to stick with the story because he's put in jail. And here's in chapter 39, 16, 18, that's where we read about him fleeing outside. And he gets put in jail. in chapter 39, verse 20. But it's interesting that despite that circumstance, on top of that, Joseph works hard as a prisoner and becomes the top prisoner. He's the most trusted prisoner that the head guard leaves him and puts him in the highest position, if I can put it in that terms, as a prisoner in the jail. And so, it's interesting. But at this part, we read that the Pharaoh now sort of flips. The Pharaoh is furious with a couple of his workers. And there are two officials, chief cupbearer, the butler, and a chief baker. And so he puts them in jail. And they're in jail now with Joseph in the exact same place where he is. And it's not so long after that these both gentlemen have dreams. They both have dreams. And the butler, I'm not going to go over the dreams. You'd have to read the chapters. But they both have dreams. And the butler is talking about how they're sad. Because Joseph comes up to him, makes friends with them. And he comes up to them. He says, sees that they're sad. When he says, why are you guys sad? We had these dreams. And we don't understand these dreams that we had. And they're bothering us. And so Joseph says, well, tell me your dreams. And I'll see if I can tell you what they mean, right? And so, of course, through the help of the Lord, Joseph is able to tell them what their dreams are about. And the butler, he says, is going to be restored to his position within 3 days. And so the baker, now hearing that there's good news for his buddy, who when they were thrown in jail together, says, well, here's what my dream's about. Tell me now what it means. But for him, it's bad news. Within 3 days, you're going to be hanged. And sure enough, those things come to fruition. But Joseph says to the chief butler, he says, when you are restored to your position, remember me. Remember me in jail when you see the Pharaoh. And we read, and it's only a short portion of a verse, that 2 full years pass. And it's quick. 2 full years pass. 4 words. And we read over it quickly. But if this were a Hollywood movie, I guess that's how it would happen. But in real life, 2 years in jail is an awful long time. We don't know what happened during that time. But Joseph stayed there for 2 full years. That's a long time to be in jail. It wasn't something that you're in jail and then you're out. He was in jail for 2 years. It wasn't something that he got out of right away. And after 2 full years, now we read that the Pharaoh has some dreams, and those dreams bother him, and he can't find anybody to interpret his dreams. And that's when the butler remembers Joseph, and he says, hey, Pharaoh, there's a guy down in jail. When I was in jail and you sent me in jail, he told me what my dreams meant. He understood my dreams. The Lord was with him. And so they call up Joseph, and Joseph asks the Pharaoh what his dreams are. And his dreams are basically this. There's two. He ends up having two dreams. The first night, he dreams that out of the Nile come these 7 fat cows, and then afterwards come out these 7 skinny cows, and the 7 skinny cows devour and eat the 7 fat cows. And the second dream he has a little later on is there's a stalk of corn, and 7 beautiful, plentiful ears of corn grew up out of the stalk, and then afterwards 7 small and skinny and stalks grow up and devour those. And so he tells Joseph the dream, and Joseph says to him, well, here's the interpretation of your dream. He says, basically, what's going to happen is there are going to be 7 years of plenty where the crops are going to be great, the food is going to be plentiful, and following those 7 years, there's going to be 7 years of severe famine. And he says, King, or the Pharaoh, he says, what you need to do is you need to find somebody, put them in charge, and they need to store up. In those 7 years of plenty, store up all the grain, all the corn, store it up so that you'll have more than enough for the following 7 years of famine. And so what happens is the Pharaoh sets Joseph in charge of all these things. And so now Joseph goes from being in jail 2 years to being remembered by the butler finally, to being promoted to Pharaoh's second in command. And sure enough, everything that Joseph said about Pharaoh's dream happens. There are 7 years of plenty, and then there are 7 years of famine. And the famine comes, and it's so bad that not only Egypt, but the neighboring countries are in severe famine, and they have no food. They didn't store up anything. And the neighboring countries also come in because they need food, and they're willing to buy the food from the Pharaoh. And so Joseph is in charge of all this, and this is where there's a real turn, because now Jacob and his 11 sons, they need food. And they hear about this man in Egypt who has all the Pharaoh who has all this food. And so Joseph sends his sons to go and get some food, bring some money, and go. But he doesn't let them take Benjamin the first time. Benjamin doesn't go, just the other 10 brothers go. And when they come, Joseph recognizes him. Recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. And so he calls them up and he talks to them. So you think of these guys coming from out of the country, they come in and the guy who's in charge wants to meet with them. So they're thinking, okay, I guess we'll meet with him. And he talks to them, but they don't recognize him. It's their brother, the one they tried to kill or wanted to kill, but sold into slavery. And Joseph he plays a little bit of a game with them. They tell him they want food, and that's all they want. And he says, well, you're spies. I think you're spies. And they say, surely we're not spies. We have another brother, our youngest, Benjamin. He's at home with our dad. And we had another one, but he says he is not. He is no longer. And so he has died. But Joseph still doesn't believe them. He gives them some grain. He says, I want you to go back. You're going to run out. It's not going to last. I want you to go back. But when you come back, to prove that you're not spies, I want you to bring the youngest, Benjamin, which would be Joseph's true brother from the same mom. And so they go back and they tell all the things to their father, and they dump their grain, and not only is their grain there, but their money's there as well. And they're kind of nervous that because Joseph knows that it's them, and he just has his people put the grain back with the money. So they actually didn't take the money out of their bags, and so they're nervous to come back, and they tell their father everything, that they got to come back with Benjamin. They got to bring Benjamin, and he doesn't want them to bring Benjamin. Jacob says, I don't want Benjamin to go. But he allows him to go, and they go back to see Joseph. But this time, when they return, he calls them in for dinner. He has them dine with him. And so they dine with him, and I'm summarizing a lot of this up. You'd have to read the chapters, but they dine with him. And when he leaves, he gives them all their grain and their money back, but he has one of his servants take his silver cup and place it in Benjamin's bag. But the brothers don't know this. So they all leave, and then Joseph sends his servant. He says, go after them, and when you overtake them, I want you to search their bags because I'm missing my silver cup. And so he's playing this game with them. Shortly thereafter, they catch up, and they meet the brothers, and the guy that takes them over says, we would never steal. We just had dinner with Joseph. I think it's called Joseph. We just had dinner with him, and why would we steal? We're happy with everything we have. We paid for our grain, and they even say to the point, if you find that cup in any of our bags, because we didn't steal it, that person should be killed. And they go from the oldest to the youngest, and they start searching the bags. And sure enough, they get to the youngest. Knowing that Jacob didn't want Benjamin to come at all, that nothing should happen to Benjamin because he's now his new favorite since Joseph is gone. And it gets to the last one, and there's the cup. And now the brothers are like, they don't want anything to happen to Benjamin. As a matter of fact, Judah says, nothing can happen to him because my father will be upset. We can't go home without Benjamin. So they go back. They go back to see Joseph. And they tell him, they say, we didn't steal it, but they plead for him. And Judah says, how about let Benjamin go and I will take his place. I will take his place. And that's when we get to the point here in the story. where we read this in verse, I'm going to read it to you, chapter 45, verses 1 to 15. And Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried, Have everyone go out from me. So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer, and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth, and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his household, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord over all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall live in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children, and your children's children, and your flocks, and your herds, and all that you have. There I will also provide for you, for there are still 5 years of famine to come, and you and your household, and all that you have, would be impoverished. Behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth which is speaking to you, that you must tell my father of all my splendor in Egypt, and all that you have seen, and you must hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. He kissed all his brothers and wept on them, and afterward his brothers talked with him. You see this story, all the things that happened to Joseph, he says God meant for good, that this would happen here. And when I look at Joseph's life, I don't think that and I have brothers and sisters, no offense, that I would be as forgiving as Joseph is to them. You think of the rage and the anger and the crazy actions that they took against him and all the things that he went through, down in jail 2 years, and now he's in this position where he can do whatever he wants to them. Whatever he wants to them. And he hugs them and he cries so loudly that everybody hears about it. Like, that's a picture, isn't it? And I can't imagine the situation. I really can't. Because you see him testing them along the way to the point where, you know, Benjamin's the favorite son. Are they gonna throw him to the wolves because he got caught and say, kill him, we're out of here, like they did with Joseph? And there's a change in their lives as well, isn't there? They don't throw Benjamin away. Judah says, take me, let him go. You see how they've come together, and that's probably part of the reason why Joseph weeps as he does. He sees the changed lives of his brothers. They're not like they were when they got rid of him. And it's just amazing to see that. Sorry. And it comes to this climax. We look at that whole story, and we see where it goes, and of course they're all restored, and I'm not going to say everybody lives happily ever after, but there's a happy ending here. And when you look at all these verses, I'm going to show you all the verses that I put up here again, and there's parallels. And there are more than what I'm putting up here. There are parallels to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I started this message, I said it's entitled Joseph, but what I really want to share with you is Jesus. And so we get into the red writing, but the same verses, first verse that I put up. He is a shepherd of his father's sheep. And we read in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 10:27. The Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd. And in the second verse, we read that the father loved him dearly. We talked about how he loved Joseph dearly. Joseph was his favorite. Well, guess what? And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. That is God speaking about his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Was he hated? Joseph was hated by his brothers. This world hates the Lord Jesus Christ. For not even his brothers, and his brothers as well, were believing in him. And that's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and his actual brothers. John 7, 5. He was sent by the Father to his brothers. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from the Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And then we also read that others plotted to harm both of them, Joseph and the Lord. So from that day on, they planned together to kill him. Of course, speaking in the New Testament of Jesus Christ, just like Joseph's brothers planned to kill him. The robes were taken from both of them. We know that when the Lord was on the cross, the soldiers, when they crucified him, they took his garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier, and also a tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece, John 19:23. It's taken to Egypt back when the Lord was a baby. So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night, and they left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Matthew 2, 14 and 15. Sold for the price of a slave. When they noticed that the Ishmaelites were coming through, they sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. For the Lord, it was 30 pieces of silver. And I guess there was inflation. And said, "What are you willing to give me to betray him to you?" This is Judas Iscariot. And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him, the price of a slave. Matthew 26, 15. Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, he was tempted. When Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. The Lord Jesus was falsely accused. Now the chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. They did not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward, but later on, two came forward. Matthew 26, 59 and 60. Bound in chains was Joseph when he was put to jail. And they bound him, led him away, delivered him to Pilate, the governor. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, before he was crucified. Joseph was placed in prison. There were two others that were with him. One is saved and one is not saved. The butler is saved and the baker is not. And that is the same with the Lord. He was put up and on the center cross, and on either side of him were two thieves. Two others also who were criminals were being led away to be put to death with him. And we know the story. One of them pleads to the Lord, "Remember me when you enter into your kingdom." And the other one says, "Save us and yourself if you're God." And he doesn't believe. And one goes to heaven and the Lord says to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." But the other is not saved. After suffering, Joseph is exalted. And the Lord also, for this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, to those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, it doesn't show there, sorry. And then, of course, that big long thing that I read, he forgave those who wronged him. You see, Joseph, despite his position and all that he could do, when he finally tells his brothers, he completely forgives them. He said, "Everything you meant for evil, God meant for good." And the same is with the Lord. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them," while he's on the cross, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. I know I spent more time speaking to you of Joseph, but I wanted you to understand the story, because I know a number of you have heard many times here at the chapel about the Lord Jesus. But when we read those parallels, and I talked to you about how the fact that Jesus Christ is on every page in the Bible, there's a perfect example 1,500 years before the Lord Jesus Christ is on this earth. A perfect example of Joseph. And there are more than what I actually put on there. Jesus starts his ministry when he's 30. When Joseph is promoted in Egypt, he's 30. These things. These things are not coincidental. These are things that God put in the Word of God as signs along the way. What do you do when you see the same sign over and over again? Well, you better follow it because it's there for a reason. And page after page, we see Jesus and Jesus and Jesus. And I don't know how many weeks you've been coming out. Maybe you've come out, this is the first time. Maybe you've come out every week for years. I don't know. And you're hearing every week about Jesus and salvation and Jesus and salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Don't ignore those signs. God wants to have a personal relationship with you today. He wants you to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and to have a different life, a life that's pleasing to Him. And I can guarantee it won't be as fantastic. No problems whatsoever. Look at the life of Joseph. Was his life perfect? Was everything great? Was everything always fantastic? Well, it wasn't. We know that. It was probably worse than some of ours, to be honest with you. And yet, God blessed him through it regardless. And he was happy with his situation. Never hear about Joseph complaining once. He's happy with every situation. And he says everything that other people meant for evil for him, God meant for good. And so if you become a Christian today, I said in my prayer, the angels will be rejoicing. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever. There's a book in heaven. When you ask the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come into a personal relationship with Him, your name is written there forever. Don't you want that? The signs are there. He wants to have a relationship with you, but He's not just going to force it upon you. You have to accept Him. And that's what being a Christian is all about. That's what being born again is all about. You don't have to necessarily be a member of this chapel. That's not what we want you to. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and have a relationship with Him. In Romans we read, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Not you might, you can, we think so. You will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. That's what the Lord wants with you today. I would urge you today, if you've been considering, if you've been coming out, if this is your first time hearing about the Lord, that you enter into a relationship with Him. And if you have any more questions, you can see me or any of the elders here to talk to us about any questions you have about the Lord. But I would strongly urge you not to leave without having accepted Him and have a life that's pleasing to Him and a relationship with Him this morning. Let's close in prayer. Father, we come before you today and we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the life of Joseph. But Father, we thank you even more for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The lives and the pictures in your word are not coincidental. Father, you put those pictures and those parallels in your word on purpose for us to see that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is important and that there's something significant about Him. And Father, we just want to thank you that you have allowed us to enter into a relationship with you through Him, that He willingly left His position on high in heaven, came to this earth, and died a cruel death on the cross for our sins, and that by believing, that accepting Him, believing in our hearts, that we're saved. And so, Father, we pray for those here this morning who have not done so, who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that this morning would be the morning that they would take that step and that they would enter into a relationship with you, Father. We pray your blessing on the rest of our day and the rest of this Lord's day to you. In His name, amen. Sorry I was late, but thank you very much.